You know, it's wonderful. It is. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. I sat in my office early this morning talking with Timothy. Timothy is our youngest son. Timothy's had a bad track. He really has. There is a default in the Smith genes, genealogy or something. Every Smith that sniffs the bottle quickly becomes a drunk. I mean, an alcoholic. You drunk's a bad word. It's alcoholic. We got it refined now. And you know what that leads to, don't you? Anybody here know what drinking and drunk leads to? Drugs. And poor old Tim, but it was so good this morning, sound, sober mind, saying, Dad, I just love you and Mom, and I'm so praying for you. I'm so proud of you. Now, a couple of other boys in our clan, are you going nuts? Well, maybe. That's all right. It's all right. Now, listen, folks, let me tell you, it's all right to love a nut unless you're allergic to peanuts. It's all right to love a nut. I tell you what, love's a great thing. You know what to say about all that stuff. Love is blind and all that. Why don't you just, all together on the count of three, say, I love all of you. One, two, three. I love all of you. Okay? confession is good for the soul. I want to tell you, there's one or two that when I first came, I had a prayer problem until I prayed, God, help me love that person. Well, I got to be careful. I could take a tangent here and go preaching. Acts 8, 1 through 13. We in our, whatever our group is back there, Bible study, we studied the book of Acts. I wasn't there when we went through chapter 8, but I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, 1 through 13. By the way, while we're making love, I love the Bible. Come on. Most of you don't. I love the Bible. I love God too. How much I love you, we doing so? How much I love you, my actions will show. How much I love the Bible, how much I stick my nose in it shows. How much I love the Bible. You know, that's not while I'm sitting in my office, you know, I make sure, big show, open my Bible, have it wide open, you know. Anybody comes in, that old boy studied his Bible. It's how much in that quiet time. When I get in my deer stand, pull out my New Testament, sit down there and just lavish the Word of God. I love the Bible. Acts chapter 8, 1 through 13. Now, if you want to stand, we want you to get all your exercise in today. One more time, to honor the reading of the Word of God. I'm reading, by the way, from the New King James Translation. Somebody asked me right after I came here, Pastor, which translation do you use? And my stock answer is this, it don't make any difference. Every one I read tells me more than I'm doing. Shows me something I ought to be about. And tells me what pleases God. Amen? They came out with a children's Bible years and years ago. I forgot what they even call that one now. Living Bible or something like that. But anyway. And everybody said poo-poo to it. Listen, I had to go in and see what it was poo-pooed for and found out it was telling me a whole lot more than I was doing. Listen to the Word of God. Okay? Chapter 8, somewhere here on this department is chapter 8. Maybe it's not on this. Oh, here we are. Now, Saul, verse 1, was consenting to his death. This is, by the way, when old Stephen gets stoned to death. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Now, by the way, that plays hopscotch with the universal church, doesn't it? The church They had pastors and elders and deacons and evangelists and the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. That is the church which was at Jerusalem. The believers, those 3,000 that got saved on the day of Pentecost, the 5,000 that got saved 2 weeks later, and then in a few more weeks, the Bible says a multitude, which when translated means an innumerable number, was saved. That church, which was at Jerusalem, watch what happens. Persecution comes. Paul said, I'm putting them in jail. I'm killing them. I'm doing everything I can do. I'm going to tear up that church called the Way. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. By the way, footnote, if I fall dead while I'm in this pulpit physically, don't go boo-hooing about it, will you please? I just stepped into heaven. I don't want you sad about that because I'm certainly not going to be sad about it. I want to tell you something. If you get there and look for me, I'll be right down on the corner of Hallelujah and Divine, and I'll be kicking up a gold dust storm. That's what I've been living all this time for, okay? Now, where was I? Somebody help me. And for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Verse 4, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. At that moment, had that guy named Saul knew this was going to be the byproduct, I don't think he'd have done what he did, because he just scattered the gospel all over the known world in that day. The Medes and the Parthians and all of those folks named back there in chapter 1. Now, they went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 5 brings us to our text. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And by the way, that just means downhill. Went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Listen, I don't care how much you go and how much you preach, just make sure you're preaching Jesus. Every once in a while, we keep our radio at the house and in my office tuned to a particular radio station that has just preached all day long. And every once in a while, I'll hear someone raging and raving and going on and on and on and never mention Jesus. There's a dude that comes on TV, got the brightest, whitest smile you've ever seen. You see if you can catch him preaching Jesus. Listen, they went everywhere preaching the word, and Philip, bless his heart, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Listen, that's the only gospel. Amen? You're getting tired of standing up. I can tell the way you're responding to the amens. If you'll amen a couple of times, I'll go ahead and let you sit down real quickly. Well, okay. Then Philip went down, preached Christ to them, and the multitudes, I want you to notice, the multitude with one accord. I mean, there wasn't any hesitation, and there wasn't anybody left out. Heeded the thing spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did in the name of Jesus Christ. For unclean spirits, crying out a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great, this is the title of my sermon, there was great joy in the city. Got it? Great joy in the city. Okay? Now, we could go on and pick up his sorcerer, but I'll just pray, Father, may the Holy Spirit use this word. May it penetrate with his power, with his ministry, and with his unction, and with his anointing. May it penetrate right down to the very core of our being, that we might today fall in love anew and again with Jesus Christ our King. He is our King. He is Lord of Lords. He is the great. He's the Almighty. He's the everlasting. We love Him. We praise You, Father, that You sent Him, that today we have salvation free in Him. Total, absolute, complete freedom from sin. Thank You, Father. Guide us in these few minutes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Be seated, please. Have you ever asked yourself this question? What's our church doing for this city? Now, we drive around, we're getting acquainted, we're finding streets we haven't driven on before, we're finding some lanes and passages and highways and 200s and 300s and a half and all of that out there that we've never driven before. And Peggy's always said, oh, I just love this. Isn't this a beautiful, beautiful town? And it is. You ought to go to one it ain't. Huntington's a beautiful place. What are we doing for it? What's New Life making in the way of a difference? Well, let's take that a little bit further. What are you doing? Now, I know Huntington's too big for you, right? To get it all? Huh? What are you doing for your community? What are you doing for the apartment complex you live in? I ask myself that all the time. What difference are Peggy and I making in this place where we live? There was a young man, a shoe salesman out of Boston, Massachusetts, who made a trip to London. And while in London, and is now, there was a soap boxer. You know, that's a guy that has a little box. He stands on that box and he preaches. And out in one of the fields right outside of London at that time, which was not near the size city it is today, he heard a man preaching. And that man preaching said this. What? No, I'm sorry, going the wrong way. The world has never seen what God can do with one man totally committed to Him. And that young man stood up, and in his very faulty English, because he was not educated, said, I'll do it. And the soap boxer said, what? He said, I'll be that man. I want you to know that Dwight L. Moody reached out and got a hold of Europe. He reached out and got a hold of the United States of America and Canada. I guess we could say America. And he shook them both mightily for God's sake with the gospel. With the gospel. What are you doing? Well, you heard the story of a young man who was who was running. Has it ever been so tough you had to run? You know, I've heard these people talk about, you know, people slam the door in your face. I've never had them slam the door in my face. I had them say some adjectives that were not very sweet, you know. They didn't stand up and say, I love you, like we said today. But I've never had that happen to me, but boy, it's worse than that. There's a young guy, he's of the Sanhedrin, he's a priest, he's well-educated, he's powerful, he's dynamic, and he starts in on the church. He watched one day while a deacon in that church, I love deacons like this, don't take me wrong, not dead deacons, stone deacons, no. But I like deacons who will take a stand. I like Sunday school teachers who will take a stand. I like ushers who will take a stand. Why even like song leaders who will take a stand? You know, listen, I like pew warmers that will take a stand. But for Jesus, for Jesus. And they're stoning old Stephen to death, you know. Oh, I can see it now. Those Sanhedrins, those religious nuts, they got smiles this wide on their face. We're putting an end to this way. That's what the church was called then, the way. We're putting an end to this. And about the time they thought, boy, that deacon raised up and said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Where do you reckon he ever heard something like that? You remember out there on Calvary's cross? At the place called Golgotha, as they were spitting on, mocking, making fun of, casting lots for his coat, saying to him, "Hey, man, you claim to have saved others. Save yourself." And he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, don't bring this charge against them. Lay not this charge to their credit." By the way, I want you to think just quickly. We're going to run just glance by this. Why? Just like you and I, they didn't need any more charges. They already had a charge. You know what that charge was? Sinner. Now, I can tell you that this guy, Saul, from Tarsus, a young priest, I can tell you that he's committing quite the sin. I can also tell you that he wrote one day in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then I can tell you that in chapter 6, verse 23 of the same book, and he says, "The wages of sin is death." Hey, listen now. I may surprise you. You may not know this. You're going to die. Now, I hope that didn't alarm you. And I hope you come to the place when you get about 82, you say, "So big deal." Just a big deal, huh? You know, if I die, the last breath here is a complete, perfect, absolutely perfect breath in heaven. Glory, I've been living for a long time, planning on going to heaven. So why get all tore up about that? Now, you're a sinner. You got that? In case you didn't get it, let me say it one more time. You are a sinner. Just as bad as this guy. Okay, this guy has a good story. I'll get that another time. But here's old Philip. And he's down there in Samaria. That is, down there in Samaria. And he's preaching Christ Jesus. Can't you hear him? Oh, listen, we watched him walk across this land. We saw him do miracles one after another after another. We saw him heal the sick. We saw him raise the dead. We saw him forgive when there was no reason to forgive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He forgave us. And all you ever did to deserve that forgiveness was just ask. Isn't that unbelievable? Just ask. "Father, forgive me. I've sinned," in the book of Luke. And the father was way ahead. The father said, "Oh my goodness, put a ring on his finger. Make him my son. Put shoes on his feet and let him walk royally. He's my son." Oh, listen, if you don't go away from here this morning with anything else but this, "I'm a child of the King. I am a child of the King." And I want to tell you something. It's not only that I'm a child of God, I am a heir of God. Yeah. Hey, ooh, yes. Listen, you heard me say a moment ago, well, maybe 2 moments ago, you heard me say that if you get to heaven looking for me, I'll be down on the corner of Hallelujah and Divine Street dancing up. Won't have bad knees in. Dancing up a gold dust storm. Why? Because I'm a child of the King. But I'm also an heir of God. Now, his town is not like Huntington. His town has gold streets. So transparently pure that you could see right through them. I just now crossed my mind. I never thought of that. Dan, I wonder what you see when you look through them. By the way, has walls. One stacked on another. Somebody help me. How many? 13? Or 12? 12. Thank you. And every one of them out of another precious jewel. Opal and topaz. And one on the other. All the way up. That's his town. By the way, since I'm his son, I'm an inheritor. Okay, so how much? You see, I think Philip is preaching this to these people. Listen, you not only get forgiveness for your sins, but you inherit an eternal life in heaven. God gives you an eternal life that's forever and forever and forever. Now, I want to tell you, 82 is a while, but it ain't much of a while. Got it? One of my grandsons called. I've told you this before. I'll just refresh you. You need to remind it every once in a while. You know, he called and said, "Grandpa." "What, son?" "Do you know I'm going to turn 25 pretty soon?" Now, let me interpret that with the Smith translation. "Grandpa, I'm having a birthday, and you need to send me a birthday present." Well, that's what he was saying. Now, he knew. Mom never misses a birthday. She's got that, I don't know how she does it, she just got it down so pat. You know, so pat. Listen, 6 weeks before June the 9th comes up, she's telling me, now you know what June 9th is, don't you? You got any idea what June the 9th is? "Oh, really? We'll skip that next June the 9th. They won't even know it was your birthday." Lucas called. "Grandpa, I'm having a birthday." "Oh, I know that, son." "Son, let me tell you something. I knew what he was saying. Send me a good birthday present." I said, "Son, let me tell you something. When I was 25 and I was looking at 75, wow. How far away does 75 seem? Forever, right, guys? Come on, be honest. You don't even think much about 75, do you? That's that's way, way out there, right? When I was 25, it didn't cross my mind. But son, now that I'm 80, 75 was yesterday." "Oh, Grandpa. Anybody want to admit to being 80? I thought so. But let me tell you, like that. Now, I brought that up to say this. Listen to me. I want to tell you something before you know it. Before you can even imagine it, life here on earth, persecution, hardship, arthritis, false teeth, earphones, all of that's gone. And you step into heaven. They were rejoicing. I think old Philip was just giving them a good dose of what being a child of God is, what the Word of God says, and their freedom. And you know what happened? The Word of God says, and there was, verse 8, "And there was great joy in that place." And we brought that to Huntington. Well, do we want to bring it to Huntington? By the way, I haven't been here long. You guys all have been here. Some of you have been here too long. No, I didn't mean that. You've been a lot longer than I have, and let me tell you something. You probably have come to the same conclusion that I have. There are not five churches that people in Huntington know anything about in a way of favorable. I'm going to do some Huntington dirty laundry and rush right on, okay? When I lived in Fort Wayne, I moved there in 1991. And I left there in 2005. When I lived in Fort Wayne, that's an exaggeration. Preachers are good at that, you know, exaggerating. That's an exaggeration. But I'd pick up the paper too often, way, way, way too often, and see youth minister in Huntington accused of sexual abuse, molestation. One after another. That was the notoriety. Now, people know the Nazarene Church and speak well of it. People know the church over by the college and speak well of it. People know, get this, you don't even know where it's at, the well. Is it the well or the wall? People know, listen to me. People know New Life Church. When I say I'm a pastor in this town, they say, where? New Life Fellowship. Oh, wait a minute. Where'd Pastor Jimmy go? They know the church. When they know your pastor. Oh, how many times I've been out on visitation knocking on doors. Oh, we're Catholic or we're Methodist or we're this or we're that. Oh, which church do you attend? Name of church. Oh, is Pastor Harry still there? I don't have the foggiest idea in the world who the pastor is. Oh, yeah, he's still there. They know that Pastor Jimmy was pastor of this church. Listen, I want us to make a difference. Say amen. Amen. I want people to know when they hear New Life Fellowship that there's a people that love Jesus. There's a people that preach Jesus. There's a people that live Jesus. And they live out Jesus down at the kitchen, the meal ministry. They live out Jesus over in the shelter. They live out Jesus in the shelter that they're going to build for women with children. They live out Jesus as they minister to this town. As people come in to the office on the weekdays and say, pray with me. They live out Jesus. We live out Jesus. We live out Jesus in every area and every aspect. And by the way, hang on now, in the unimaginables. I believe this. Now, that comes under that verse down there where it says, there was great joy. Many signs and wonders were done in Samaria. See it? Now, I'll give you something to scratch your head on as you go away today. You don't see many signs and wonders. I think New Life Fellowship is a wonder. There's some churches been here in this town for 100 years, and they've not seen anything happen in their church like it's happened here in the last 15. Can I footnote that for you, please? Listen to me. And they haven't seen nearly anything like what's going to happen in the very near future with us. Because we want to bring great joy to the city. Amen and amen. Amen. We want to see this city love Jesus. Amen. We want to see this city hear Jesus. Amen. Now, you run flat into a brick, thick, set, enforced wall. You have to ask this question. Who's going to do it? Who's going to bring great joy to this city? Who's going to proclaim Christ? Now listen, you understand this. There's no joy like knowing Jesus. Are you with me? I mean, you know, I was a smart aleck. I was a bully. But my life was empty. Until I met Jesus. So, he just doesn't like, who's going to tell this town about Jesus? Well, I tell you what let's do. Let's have a commissioning service, okay? Let's commission the Methodists. They're a lot more in number than we are. Let's let them do it, huh? Oh. I hope they do. Well, let's let the Pentecostals. They outnumber us too. Let's let them do it. Well, if we're not going to let these people do it, and we're going to commission them, we might ought to commission ourselves. Amen. In fact, we went through this whole scenario, and we got 2 minutes for me to say to you, I'm calling on you today. I'm asking you today to do this. One, you make a commitment along with me. And I'll volunteer her, Peggy Lorie. You make a commitment that you will give your life totally to Jesus, to follow Him as the Holy Spirit of the living God gives direction. That ain't much, is it? No, it's not. It's not much. It's everything. It's everything. You don't hold back anything on Jesus. There's a story of a couple in here in the Bible, in this same book, in the book of Acts. And all they did was sell a piece of land and lie about it. They said, we gave that whole price to the church, and it didn't. We gave that whole thing to the Lord, and it didn't. They took out some and kept for themselves. Can you imagine this? Bang! Peter pulled out his clock 46. Whew, that's the end of him. He ought not to have been lying. Are you guys listening? He didn't have to pull out anything. He just simply said to them, man, why are you lying to the Holy Ghost? Boom. Now, it didn't long to the sweet little wife, pretty little thing. That's what her name says, pretty little thing. She came in, and she had all smiles. She said, Ananias, share with you what we did? Oh, yes. What did you do? Well, you know, we sold that piece of land and gave it to the church. Now, what prompted you to lie like he lied? Bang. This takes a 22 to get rid of her. Down she goes. Same guys that buried her husband going to bury her. Listen, it's time. I want you to understand something. There are some risk in it. That is, if you're afraid of persecution, if you're afraid to stand up for Jesus, if you're afraid to suffer as Jesus wants you to, and He's never called on me to do anything that I had not, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the strength and the ability to do. But if you're not willing to face that chance, some risk in it. But God's already said to you, hear me now, I'll not let anything come upon you that you are not able to bear. And if it comes, I want you to know one thing. I will, said God, provide a way through it, a way from it, so that you won't suffer too much. You see, what happened back there at Jerusalem when Stephen was stoned to death? Sent the gospel of Jesus Christ out into the whole known world in that day. Well, folks, I really believe, and I'm through, believe it or not, you better not, I'm through. I really believe God has placed Bob here. He's placed Ashley here. He's placed you here. He's placed Randy here. He's placed Scott here. And Ed here. And you guys on the back row. And you guys on the front row. And all rows in between. God's placed us here. Why? To bring great joy to the city. And if it gets tough, the tough get going. Amen. I'm calling on you this day to join me and my wife in making a commitment. We will lay it all on the line for Jesus' sake. You ready back there to tune up the invitation? Okay, do it. I want to ask you, if you'll make that commitment today, just all for Jesus, all to Him I owe, you'll just lift your hand. Say, preacher, I'll join you. I'll join my brothers and sisters in Christ in making this commitment all to Jesus. Now, if doing so, you need to come to this altar and make a total commitment to Jesus.